everybody. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., where we talk about hypnosis, etc. And I always, almost always, have a co-host. And back for the fourth time in a row, that's like a grand slam, 4 points in a row, guess what? L. Ron Ferguson. L. Ron Ferguson, he is like a self-development, I don't know, perpetual motion machine, because he's always studying, always learning, always improving himself. He just comes from that kind of background. And he was a hypnotherapist before he even came to our center, seeking out, the secrets to the universe and hypnosis. I want to tell you one thing. L. Ron has done thousands of hypnosis sessions, and I think he's done most of those sessions right here at our center. We're proud of him. He's doing a great job. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal.
Hey.
Yes. My little sister actually, she thinks that I'm a neurotic learning addict. But, you know, I like the way that you said it much better. Which is why I'm still here, because I always learn something new from Cal. For those of you that don't know, Cal is the hypnotist. He synthesized 5-path, created 7th-path self-hypnosis, and anybody who is around him is really lucky to be learning something all the time, and I certainly am. There's always just the best answers. Cal has this way of taking this big long answer that I would think of and making it like one or two sentences, and then you just go, oh, and then that's it. It's like discussion over, that's it. It's like this boiled down wisdom. I don't know how he does that. How do you do that, Cal?
Well, you see, I'm a lot older than you, and I don't have the stamina to go on and on and on, so I just say it and get it over with.
It's just a matter of convenience, right?
when you've been around the profession as long as I have, you've thought about this and you've come, and you know what? There's so little that's new in the world of hypnosis. And someone starts talking about it, and, you know, I've been in full time in the profession since 1996, hypnotized my first person ever, and it was either 1976 or 1977. So I've been thinking about this stuff for a long, long time. And so when someone starts asking me about it, I've probably already thought about it and given it some kind of summary of a viewpoint. And I'm not always right, but I'm like everybody else. I'm always learning, right?
That's right. That's how you do it. Yeah. A lot of questions I get, I think about them for the first time when you ask me. Oh, what's that?
Hey, I'm so looking forward to a class that's coming up, but it's already happened by the time you guys watch this video. It's so crazy. I love doing these classes. Oh, it's so great. We got one in July. I'm looking at my calendar. It's already come and gone by the time we watch this video. But when's the next one? Let's talk about that one. August at the NGH convention. And then our next one here at our center is coming up in October. October! Will be October Hypnofesting at the Banyan Hypnosis Center.
Hey. I'll bring the beer!
Yeah! I'll drink the beer.
All right.
And
instant hypnosis. A new
and
beer induction. How about that?
And some schnitzel. I'm sorry,
yes.
I was too busy talking. I didn't hear what you said. And we'll ride in on our Harleys and drink beer and have my usual Wednesday night. Okay. Well, enough about me. What's going on, L. Ron?
We're just having too much fun, Cal. This is how we always get on the fourth podcast. I take full responsibility. So, there's a question. Question from South Africa. Good morning from cold South Africa, Cal. I have two clients that despite all my attempts just won't lose the numbers. I tell them that after the session, they will be back sharper and clearer. I didn't mention the word numbers after they start counting. I tried from 1 up and 100 down. No difference. Any advice?
I'm a little bit confused about the question. After each session, this hypnotist tells them they'll be sharper and clearer. Why would you tell someone that the numbers would be sharper and clearer if they're having trouble losing the numbers?
I think within this context, he's just saying that, you know, after you lose them, they will be back. I think he's mind reading that they might be afraid of losing the numbers and then saying that suggestion. That's my idea for the impetus of why he's saying that.
Okay.
But whatever, right? I think it's he's just talking useless talk. You don't need to say that.
Okay. First of all, thank you for sending in a question. We did love it. And now, to all you guys that wonder what the heck we're talking about, I want you right now to write down hypnosis.org, hypnosis.org, because on hypnosis.org, I have a video there for it. It shows you how to do the Elman-Banyan induction, and there's also a video there you get for free, no charge, on some insider tips, tricks, and techniques for doing inductions and stuff like that. So there's a part in the original Elman induction, which is a rapid induction, just takes a few minutes. It's designed to take people into somnambulism, which is a deep state of hypnosis. And in the original Elman, he's had them count backwards, starting with 100. And I change that around, and I explain why that is in my book, Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy, Basic to Advanced Techniques for the Professional. I also explain it in my classes. I'm not going into it here. But I change it around. We start with one. Now, this is not a hard thing to do. And in fact, after a while, you get an idea of like the personality profile of the individual who's going to have trouble losing the numbers. Why do we want people to lose the numbers? All right, so there's two things I'm talking about here. One is, what's losing the numbers about? The brilliance of the original Elman induction was he would put the individual into a loop where they would say the number and then go more mentally relaxed. And then say the next number, become more mentally relaxed. Doesn't matter if they're going forward, counting backwards. The magic is what happens is they eventually become so relaxed mentally that they can't remember the next number. And this is amnesia by suggestion, which corresponds to the threshold of somnambulism. Now, so that's why you want to do it. It's a covert test for a deep level of hypnosis. And what I will typically do when someone doesn't, I can sense these people probably 80% of the time that they're going to have trouble because they tend to overthink things. They seem to be kind of mentally uptight. And I'll just have them practice it right there at my desk before we go to the recliner. I'll have them practice it. I'll say, hey, there's going to come a time in the hypnotic induction where I'm going to have you begin counting out loud, starting with the number one, and with each number, put half the amount of mental effort into it. It's like you're relaxing with each number, and after a few numbers, it doesn't take long, you'll be putting so little effort into it that you can't even say or think of what the next number is. And would you be willing to do that for me? And of course they would say yes. And I'd say, let's practice that right now. And I'd have them practice that right there in front of me. It only takes a couple minutes. And then the people that I anticipated that I was going to have trouble with, boom, now it's easy. They get it. If during the session they have trouble with it, either because I didn't do this exercise with them, or I did the exercise and for some reason they don't understand, what happens is I'm at that part of the induction and they're not losing the numbers. I will just have them open their eyes. I leave them in whatever level of hypnosis that they're in, and I make sure that they understand the instruction. So one of the main reasons they don't do it is that they don't understand the instruction. The other one is that they are just not wanting to go into hypnosis. They have some reason to foil your efforts. For example, the person who really doesn't want to quit smoking. Like when you pull that little benefits form out and you want to get 7 benefits from them, they weren't very good benefits, or they just didn't really give you any except maybe get my spouse off my back so that my spouse will quit bothering me about quitting smoking, and they're thinking, gosh, if I could just try everything and fail, then I could tell my spouse it's useless, I'm going to smoke forever, and then that's an example of why they might want to foil the attempt. So they just don't want to go into hypnosis. Or perhaps the pre-talk isn't done, and they're harboring some fear about hypnosis, and you can talk to them about any misconceptions or anxieties they have about going into hypnosis. And you got to get that straightened out, and then once that's straightened out, I say, good, close your eyes, and now proceed to lose the numbers and have them go on from there. I usually won't start all the way from the beginning of the induction. Is that kind of what we're talking about there, Elron?
Yeah, it is, Cal.
Good. Anything you want to add?
No. I'm just going to repeat what you just said. I mean, it's all about being able to tell the difference between non-compliance and just not understanding what's going on. And getting better and better at doing that. And once you know what it is that you're dealing with, you'll be able to take care of it, no problem.
Cool. Hey, that was easy. What you got next?
The next one, oh, this is great.
What great timing, huh?
My client just wrote a giant N-A.
Your client?
No, not my client. Somebody else's client. This is the question. My client just wrote a giant N-A, not applicable, on the paperwork, on the part of the paperwork where there's the benefits form. There's a form that we have, other people have adopted our benefits form here, where it says, list the benefits of making the change that you want to make. And there's lines for 7 different benefits. Because we want to know, what's the favorite channel that you listen to? WIFM, what's in it for that person? What are the benefits, you know? How are they going to see their life as different? What are the benefits of quitting smoking, right? I want to smell better. I want to breathe better. I want to be more healthy, make more money, get a relationship with a non-smoker, blah, 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 right? There's many different benefits. It's like, boom, I press that magic button, poof. How's it going to change your life? How's it going to change your life? Okay, now you're confident. Now what? How will your life improve when you're confident? What will you be doing? How else will your life improve? How else will your life improve? Well, when you're more blank, what else will you be doing? What else will you be doing? Talked about this in some previous episodes. And so they just put a big NA on their paperwork. How would you handle a situation like this?
Me?
You.
Oh, same way you just did. You know, I'm going to say, you know what, did you understand the instruction here that I'd like you to write down 7 different benefits that you would get by making this change in your life? And they go, oh, okay. And then we would start filling them out. Or if they go, I don't really see any benefit of making my change. And I say, then I'm going to be completely unable to help you because you've got to have your own darn good reasons to want to change. Because, you know, all change takes some effort. Why would you put any effort into this if there's no benefit? See you later, save yourself some money, bye-bye. And usually when I do that, they'll go, oh, wait a minute, and they'll come up with something or 2 things. But if that benefit isn't for themselves, like if they say, oh, well, my wife will feel better and my kids will da-da-da-da or whatever, my doctor will be happy, that's not good enough. I have to say, we got to come up with some things that you personally can be happy about, proud of, excited about, something you want to tell your friends about, something that is a benefit for you. Now, if you've had experience on working with that issue, you can throw, I say, let me just throw some ideas out there in front of you and let me know if this, you can relate to that. And I can throw some ideas out there in front of the person that, you know, clients who are seeking help with a similar issue have come up with as a benefit. But if I find that I feel like I'm working too hard, I'm doing all the work in the session, I'm just going to say, you know, I think you really need to rethink whether or not you want to do this. I mean, you know, doing hypnotherapy with me is expensive. And I don't want you to waste your money. I don't want you to waste my time. I don't want you to ruin my reputation either. So I'm just not going to see you unless you can come back with, 7 reasons of why you want to do this. I also tell them that once we come up with that, the sessions that we do together are going to be much more powerful because the subconscious mind moves towards pleasure and away from pain. And when I give you hypnotic suggestions and I start mixing in this suggestions, like let's just say it was smoking, and I could say, you're now a non-smoker, and because of that, benefit. I can say the benefit, right? And you're accepting the suggestion that you're going to be a non-smoker the rest of your life, and benefit, and I can start putting all of these benefits in with the suggestions I'm giving you, then the subconscious mind just loves that stuff. It soaks it up. It loves those suggestions. It's like the great prophet once said, what was her name? A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Mary Poppins. That's who it was. She said that, and it's true. The more I can wrap my suggestions in some sweetness, some sweet, sweet benefits, the better that medicine's going to go down, the better those suggestions are going to be accepted, and the more successful my clients are going to be. How's that sound, Ron?
That sounds great, Cal. I mean, it's all about what is valuable about making this change. You know, what's important about blank? What else is important? What else is important to you about losing weight? What else is important?
Perfect.
That kind of talking is only going to help your client. And when they start to think in those terms and meditate on that, what else is important to me about this? What else is important? Sometimes they haven't taken the time to actually think in those terms. You know, usually when people are having trouble writing down the benefits, they've never actually thought about it. They've just had this natural inclination to go, well, I certainly don't want to feel like this no more. But until we get their lens and focus it on where we want to go, they will not get any better. You can't get rich by thinking about being not poor. Okay? You can't feel calm by thinking about being not anxious. It just doesn't work. It's called awareness through negation. Awareness through negation. Just like the same old thing, right? You can't not think about elephants by not thinking about elephants. Okay? And so we have to focus them in the direction that is where we're going, not just what they don't want. You can't not think about something by not thinking about it.
Om hypnosis. Om hypnosis. Om hypnosis. I'm meditating on the benefits. All right, good. Hey, let's see if we can squeeze something else in real quick.
Okay, cool. One more. Cal, can you explain insight therapies?
Okay, insight work or insight therapies, let me tell you real quick. This, on the talk I just did for the NGH on budurl.com/Banyan2012. That's the recorded version of that. We talk a lot about insight therapies or insight work. And what's the difference between therapy and work? When you're working with a disease or mental illness, a disorder, and you're helping someone move towards health and wholeness, then you're doing therapy. But the vast majority of people we work with, normal everyday people with normal everyday problems, they don't need therapy. There's nothing wrong with them mentally or health-wise. They're just normal everyday people, normal everyday problems. We're just working with them with hypnosis. And one of the very best ways to do that is using an insight technique. For example, you hear us talk over and over again about informed child work. And so we bring the problem or the issue up in the adult, and we have the consciousness follow that back in time until we can get to the younger part of them that first had the problem. And then we have the grown up with the coaching of the adult tell the client what they wish they would have known then. And then what happens is, in the child and also resonating all the way through the adult, there is that epiphany, that aha experience, that insightful experience. And they go, ah, now I know, now I understand. And when that happens, it forces the subconscious mind into a state of reorganization. And it becomes like soft clay, just like when you were a little kid full with a head full of mush, that soft clay, easy, impressionable type thing. And so when we, either with age regression or parts work or forgiveness work, anything where we can have them go, aha, now I know, then that forces the subconscious mind, like I said, into a state of reorganization. And they become hyper-suggestible for anything that's consistent with that suggestion. So they have the insight. Then we do the segue from now that you know this and now you feel that, you're going to be able to accept these suggestions more powerfully than ever before. And we give them the suggestions they came in for as they relate to the insights that they've just gained. So that's what we mean by insight. It's taking them through a process where an aspect of the individual, aha, knows what they didn't know before, causes a shift in suggestibility, and an argument could be made that the one of the main reasons to do age regression, to do parts work, to do all these other kinds of insight therapies or work is just so we could create that aha experience, that epiphany, because that's when we create the hypersuggestibility, and the suggestions we get at that moment make an impression on the subconscious mind. It's all soft and fluid, highly suggestible, but it cannot stay in that state for very long. After we emerge them, it goes back into the normal adult, firmly held belief state, and guess what? Now it's a permanent suggestion because of a permanent insight. Does that help, Elron?
It absolutely helps, Cal.
Hey.
And, you know, to just really, it's those little shifts in perspective, those insights, right? Those ahas that actually make the difference. Because you can tell somebody something over and over and over and over and over again, but until what's underneath it is elicited and let go of, you can say your nerves are stronger and steadier, your nerves are stronger and steadier, your nerves are stronger and steadier. But if they have this belief inside that's locked under emotion of, if I let go, I'm going to die, that's not going to go anywhere, no matter how good of a hypnotist you are. It's getting down, finding that information, taking your client, guiding them through that learning process. You know, I heard someone talk about how as hypnotists we are, you know, there's two views on it. There's the view of, oh, I'm the hypnotist, I'm going to fire suggestions at you, and you're going to be more likely to do that stuff because I said it. Or the hypnotist is more of a mountain climbing guide, where we take you through the process of learning how to climb a mountain. Then you get to the top of the mountain, you have the good feelings that come from being at the top of the mountain, but you also have the good feelings that come from going through the experience of learning how to climb that mountain. And now you know how to climb a mountain. And that's what insight is. It's also a learning process. It's information. It's resources. It's that epiphany, just as Cal was talking about. And it's what makes the difference when you're working with your clients. The second part of the question was, can you explain the difference between 5-path and 7th-path self-hypnosis?
Okay, real quick. Squeeze this in. 5-path, gosh, it seems like we talk about this all the time.
Oh, real God, quick. I know. Why do they always talk about 5-path anyway? I mean, what is this 5-path thing anyway? What's so great about 5-path?
Well, I'm not going to talk about too much. I mean, you just tune into any one of these audios, and that 5-path is a 5-phase systematic approach that works for just about any issue that someone could come into your office wanting help with. Doesn't matter if it's psychosomatic illness, or if it is a habit, or if it's an addiction, or if it is a fear, or whatever. You can use this process, and when you use one process over and over and over, you get good at it. And 5-path integrates some of the most powerful techniques. So, available hypnotists. It's short for 5-phase advanced transformational hypnosis. All right. And 7-path, there's some confusion there because we don't usually say the full name. The full name is 7-path self-hypnosis, and it is an insight generating kind of self-hypnosis, only one in the world that I've ever heard of where the main purpose is to generate insight. And what did we just talk about with insight? When we do insight processes, the suggestions could become permanent, very powerful, changed. And so that's what's cool about 7-path. And also, if you are a spiritual person, it becomes a mind-body-spirit approach. All right, that's it. That's all I'm going to talk about.
All
back
right.
To you, Elron.
Now it's my turn to talk. Just kidding.
It's not your turn to talk because we're out of time. Oh, I just got a message. It just came in. They said, how come Elron looks so good? Does he have a makeup artist that fixes him up every single time?
That's just how I look, everybody. Sorry.
You got to come to the convention, see him in purpose. See him in purpose. Yeah. In person,
that's right.
On purpose.
Off of my tooth, it goes ting.
So, hey, are you single right now?
That is absolutely off-limits information. You'll have to mind control me and brainwash me to give you that information.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are you gonna be
I have no recollection, Your Honor.
Are you going to be single when you go to the convention?
I don't know. I don't know. The mystery. The mystery makes it even better, doesn't it?
Not me.
Can hope that I'm single at the convention. Who knows?
All right, wrap it up.
I kind of gave it away. Anyway, so, yes.
You always get giddy when I talk about your relationships.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Yeah, you and Meredith.
So terrible. Oh, I know. She's cute when she does that. So, now that this has gone very inappropriate, why don't we just end on a high note? This is all about giving you value, giving you the information that you need to be better at being a great hypnotist. If you want to find out more stuff, go to hypnosis.org. Cal mentioned it earlier. It's a great site. It's got a lot of information about hypnosis. It's got some free stuff. You can learn how to hypnotize if you never learned how to hypnotize anybody, or if you want to learn a hypnosis induction that really works, you can go there and check that out. Also, hypnosiscenter.com is the site of our center. You can even see a picture of me on that website, as well as get information on upcoming training and classes. Obviously, right now you should be on calbanion.com, and we have schedules for upcoming trainings that you can take and come here and learn some great stuff. You can email me at lronhypnosis@gmail.com, and you can check out my website, safeeffectivehypnosis.com, which needs to be updated. So thanks so much for coming here today. I look forward to seeing you again. I'm L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
All right. Thank you, L. Ron. That's it. I'm so excited to, I don't know, it's Friday. It's Hypno Friday, and we've got a whole weekend ahead of us. Gosh, it just doesn't get any better than that. This is Cal Banyan, signing off.
This recording is a property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.